let us hear God sweat. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Dear congregation, 2 weeks ago we considered those officers who were amazed at the ministry of Christ. They had been sent by the Pharisees and the chief priests to arrest our Lord, but when they got there, they were struck, they were amazed at our Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. Well, tonight we consider a centurion who, along with others, was amazed at Calvary. Now, amongst the commentators, there are those who believe he was convicted, amazed, but not converted. But others believe, like the Reverend John Brown of Huntington, that he, being convicted, was then led to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way. Well, here we have a man who makes confession. He glorifies the Lord, as we note in our text tonight. Let me ask you, as you consider the scene here at Calvary, have you gone unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in him? Can you testify tonight that you know him? You know him to be true, and that you can say to others, this is my friend and this is my beloved. Do you know what it is in your life to look unto Jesus, as the apostle said in Hebrews chapter 2, who endured the cross? Oh, do you look on Jesus? Have you been amazed at Calvary? Oh, tonight, we who love the Lord, that we will be taken afresh with our Saviour's love at Calvary, and that in response we would so desire to live for him, that we would so desire to serve him, that we would so desire to love him more and more. And for any without Christ listening on, oh, that you would be amazed at him for the first time. Our Lord, having been sentenced to death, was led unto Calvary. On the way, one Simon Cyrene was compelled to carry the cross after Jesus. For our Lord was in great agony, and he knew such terrible exhaustion. At the cross, rather at Calvary, our Lord was crucified. And after a number of hours, he died. And so we come to verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He died. And all as we think of that at this moment, what a death he faced. But further, what love towards me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, what love! And oh, that we would be melted tonight as we consider the love of Jesus. Oh, that we would be amazed at him who so loved me and gave his life for me. And then we come to verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now if you turn with me to the parallel passage, one of them in Matthew 27 and verse 54, we read this. Matthew 27 and verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Well, as we turn to these words tonight and we consider this familiar scene, may the Lord help us and may we have a heart afresh amazed at Jesus. Well, as we turn to these words, we consider, first of all, Jesus at Calvary. And then secondly, amazed at Calvary. Jesus at Calvary. And then secondly, amazed at Calvary. Verse 47. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now, in a moment, we will consider there was amazement at Calvary. Certain things had taken place, such as the earthquake, but particularly this amazement had been welling up in the soul, in the heart, and in the mind, particularly in view of the Lord Jesus and his death there in that place. Turn back again to Matthew 27, verse 54, and when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And you note there, the centurion and others, the soldiers and others, they were watching Jesus. They considered him. They viewed him. They took note, yes, also of the earthquake. And this amazement arose within their minds. Their eyes were focused on him. Oh, to consider afresh tonight Jesus at Calvary. Now, just as an introduction to this point, turn with me to Acts 2 and verse 23. Acts 2 and verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. We see there, and we must understand, that what took place here at Calvary was all in accordance to the will of God. The Lord must go to the cross. There was no other way. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ as the substitute had to suffer and die. Children, you know what a substitute is. One who takes the place of another. Maybe in sports, in a game, one is injured and someone takes their place. They're a substitute. But the Lord Jesus Christ was a substitute. And as a substitute, he satisfied divine justice. You see, he came that there might be life. Well, in accomplishing redemption, not only did he keep the law perfectly to give the legal title to eternal life, but he also suffered the penalty of the broken law in the place of others to give legal security from eternal death. He must do it all. He must go to the cross then. It was all in accordance to the perfect will of God. Jesus said to those two on the road to Emmaus, you recall, on the evening time of the day of resurrection, there were those two walking and Jesus drew near. They were sad. Jesus drew near and he spake with them. And he said this in Luke 24, verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? He must suffer. He must go to the cross. It was in accordance to God's will. He had to suffer. Thomas Boston wrote, "His own suffering could only avail here. There was no other way." Now many think of the cross and what Jesus suffered there. They consider it. Oh, let's pause tonight and consider the cross. There was no other way. Dear child of God, there was no other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is that way. The way to life, there was no other way, but that he must go to the cross. There will be no pardon, no salvation, no heaven if Jesus did not die. We read in Hebrews 9, verse 22, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." He must die. He must shed his precious blood. Oh, dear child of God, he had to go that way for you. There was no other way. He had to endure such agony. He had to go to the cross. He must shed his precious blood. He must give his life that you might be saved. As we think of this, Are you becoming amazed afresh tonight at Jesus and what he did at Calvary? Oh, that our hearts would be moved when we consider there was no other way. He had to come, he had to die, that we might live. Oh, we are debtors to grace, we are debtors to him. Oh, tonight, to be amazed at him. He must come in accordance to the will of God. But let's consider, however, what he suffered at the cross from the hands of wicked men. What agony he must go through. Consider what agony he was already in as he came to Calvary. He was wearing the crown of thorns. We read of it in Mark chapter 15. That crown had been so pushed down upon his head. He was in agony bearing that crown of thorns. The thorns were piercing his head. It so hurt him. The crown of thorns so hurt him because of my sin this day and because of your sin. He'd been scourged by the soldiers. He'd been whipped terribly in such a cruel way. He was in such agony. Blows have been inflicted upon him. In Isaiah 50 verse 6 we read, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I gave my back. Dear child of God, he gave his back to the smiters in order to save you. Out of great love, he gave his back to the smiters. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, they treated him in such a cruel way. They pulled at his beard. He was spat at. Are we amazed at Calvary tonight? He was spat at. You know, it's a horrible thing, isn't it, to see someone spitting on another. Such a cruel thing, a disgusting thing. My Saviour was spat at because of my sin of this day, because of my wrong faults, my wrong words, my wrong actions. He was spat at. What pain he was in then, as we consider he was on the way to the cross. There was his open wounds. He felt such agony in his body. His back was so sore and so was his head. But further, he was so exhausted when he arrived at Calvary. He was exhausted on the way. You see, they compelled Simon Cyrene to bear the cross after Jesus because those soldiers and others were worried that our Lord would collapse on the way. And then it would not be that open sight of him being crucified at Calvary. Oh, he was so exhausted. Every step he took was in great agony. You know, it's not easy to carry something which is heavy. Oh, consider that Jesus was carrying his cross in such pain and agony. Simon Cyrene, he comes and he carries the cross after Jesus. How difficult it was. And then as he arrived at Calvary, he was laid on the cross. The upright piece of wood and the crossbeam were brought together. And our Lord was nailed onto the cross. And then the cross was lifted up. And then the soldiers put it down into the socket. What agony. As the nails were driven through his hands and feet. Such agony, such exhaustion he was in, and it intensified. And then they lifted up my Saviour, and they cruelly thrust the cross into the socket. Oh, what pain that must have been for our Lord, throughout his whole body, in his hands, his feet, but throughout his whole body. And there our Lord was hanging now, at Calvary, what pain, so terrible, the burning pain, the intense pain Christ was facing We're only given a little bit, aren't we, as we look at the scripture of what it was like. So much is covered, is it not? But oh, so intense was the pain. What agony our Lord was in. But you know the inward agony in his soul was far greater. He knew great sorrow within. In Psalm 69 verse 20 we read this, that he was full of heaviness. Full of heaviness. You know, over these past few months, there's been times when we've looked at certain verses of scripture to help us with a heavy heart. It's been a hard time, isn't it? We've known discouragements. We've been downcast, and we've known that heavy heart. Well, our Lord, he sympathizes because he had such a heavy heart. Psalm 69, verse 20, full of heaviness. The whole heart of Christ was so full of heaviness as he was bearing our sins, as he was facing the wrath of God. So heavy was the heart of Jesus in Calvary. He was in such agony bodily that was hard for him. Not easy to endure pain, is it, to be able to concentrate? It affects the mind. Oh, consider further how the soul of Christ was so affected at Calvary. He was suffering the assaults of wicked men, the mocking, the laughter. He was facing a brutish attack from Satan, and he felt the wrath of God so heavy upon his soul. Psalm 22, verse 14. In great agony he would cry, my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Like wax. He was so feeling the wrath of God. That's an amazing verse in Psalm 22, isn't it? It gives us a little further insight to the sufferings of Christ, what he was going through, particularly on the cross as he was facing the wrath of God. My heart is like wax. Oh, what he suffered. Oh, what he endured. And remember, he did not walk away. He continued to endure. He continued to suffer all the way to the end. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know that there? He endured the cross. He stayed under the sufferings he must suffer. He remained. He did not walk away, dear child of God. Why? Because he so loved you. He would not walk away. Yes, he was in such agony, but he would not walk away. He would fully accomplish redemption. He would finish the work that he had been given to do. He endured the cross. He must suffer. He must face the penalty for the broken law in full. And he did. What a saviour. What a death he faced. He was treated as a criminal. My spotless saviour. So treated, and then under the curse, being charged with my sin, he died. We read in Galatians 3 verse 11, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. What he faced out of love for me. Oh, think of the climax then of his sufferings at Calvary. Remember, he would cry out, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Where was the gracious, the loving presence of God? He was forsaken under God's wrath, and he so felt it in his soul. He came into this world. He took human nature, a human body, a true body, and a soul, so that he could so suffer in my place. and all that he suffered in his human soul. Listen to the Puritan John Flavel. He suffered in his soul, yet the sufferings of his soul were the soul of his sufferings. That's where he so suffered, in his soul. He felt the pain. He was in great agony. But oh, he so felt the hand of God crushing him in his soul. Oh, what a Saviour who faced such. Oh, what agony he was in upon the cross. And then death came. Bodily death took place. Just think of this. God the Son, who had created the world along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now was facing death. What humiliation. Oh, what sufferings my Saviour faced for me. Are you amazed tonight afresh at Calvary? Or perhaps there's someone listening on tonight, you're amazed for the first time. Well, keep looking unto Jesus. Well, consider further as we think of Calvary, our Saviour's love, what love he had there for others upon the cross. You remember, his love was displayed towards Mary and also towards John. In John 19, verse 26, verse 27 as well, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother," he said to John. You see, he was concerned about them. He had such a loving concern. Did you listen to those words in Psalm 20? Remember, if you look at Psalm 20 and also Psalm 40, and also have Hebrews 10 open before you, you'll see there the Saviour speaking through the psalmist. And did you notice there his concern that those that would believe in him, his people, would know joy in their heart? That's amazing, isn't it? What love, what a loving concern. Dear child of God, upon the cross, he so thought of you. He has such a concern for you. He had a concern for you in this pandemic that would come. Such a concern. He had a concern, such a loving concern, that you in your life would know times of joy and comfort. What an amazing Saviour who is in great agony, yet he was thinking of me. That I would know joy. He was in great sorrow, but he was concerned that I would know joy. He cried out where? He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That I would know the comfort of God's gracious presence. What a loving concern. What love was displayed at Calvary. Love for sinners. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What love. Throughout this pandemic, we've witnessed, haven't we, sacrificial acts of love. There have been those who have been so caring. And some of you may have been those who have received such loving care. We've witnessed it, haven't we? People helping others. People going without that others might be helped in this pandemic. Acts of love. What sacrificial love was displayed at Calvary. What love, what great love. Oh, to be more amazed at the love of Jesus this night. He continued to love his people. He continued to love me all the way through those hours of agony upon the cross. We read in John 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them. He loved them as he was growing up in Nazareth. He loved them as he went about his public ministry in Israel, in Judah. He loved them, and he loved me as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He loved me on the cross. Just think of it. He was in great agony. He felt such agony within his soul. He was so sorrowful. But he loved you every moment. How wonderful. He was thinking of me. He was loving me. He was bearing my sin. He was being punished for my sin. He faced the wrath of God. His heart was wax, melting like wax. Oh, what he suffered because of me. Yet he did not stop loving me. How amazing is Jesus. He loved me all the way. He gave himself for me. He loved me. Oh, what love. Oh, wondrous flood of grace and love, both mingled in the blood, said the late Vernon Hine. What love! Consider it tonight in your homes. The love of Jesus at Calvary. Oh, to be taken more with him. Oh, to be amazed more at his love displayed at Calvary. And that brings us to our second and final point. Amazed at Calvary. Amazed at Calvary, verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. As we have thought again of the cross tonight, as we have thought of the beloved Redeemer who suffered there in such agony, but also such love, what are you thinking now about him in your heart? Now I know it's not easy to concentrate at times. It's not easy, is it? I remember as a child struggling at times, and as a young man struggling at times, and even in recent days struggling to think. But just think of him. Are you amazed at Jesus tonight? Oh, to stop and consider him. Just stop and consider. Look up to him, dear child of God. Exercise faith, looking unto Jesus. Consider him. Are you amazed at him? Oh, there's coldness in my heart at times. Oh, for the warmth to come. Oh, for the Holy Spirit to come and excite the graces, that I might have a greater love, that I might be more focused on him, that I would sit amazed at Jesus. Well, consider the centurion here. He was amazed at Calvary. He was an officer in the Roman army, and he was in charge of a number of men. And he was over the soldiers at Calvary. And he was watching Jesus, Matthew 27, verse 54. And when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. He was watching Jesus. What a sight it was. There was the centurion, there were soldiers, watching Jesus, looking on. They saw him hanging there upon the cross. And the centurion, he struck with awe. There had been the darkness. He had witnessed the death of Christ. Now, and there had been a great earthquake, and he struck with great awe. He's watching, he's looking on. Just think of it, he had seen the death of Jesus, and he struck with awe. Or consider the centurion then. He's watching Jesus. As you consider the scene tonight, as you look on, as you think of the Word of God before us tonight, what do you think about Jesus? But let me ask you further. Are you looking to Jesus by way of faith now, as you consider the Word? You know the Gospel is true, and you're looking to Jesus. Are you focused on Jesus now? Are you looking at Jesus now by faith at this very moment? Are you talking to Jesus now? Are you struck in awe at him? Are you amazed at Jesus? You know, I so desire to be more amazed at Jesus. I was talking earlier to Sharon, who brought me a cup of coffee in the vestry this afternoon. Oh, to be taken more with Jesus. Oh, to be more amazed. My heart is so cold at times. I want to be more amazed at Jesus as I look at him by faith. Oh, that I would turn mine eyes upon Jesus more often in my life and more often in the day, and that I would be left amazed, looking unto Jesus. Dear child of God, can I encourage you now to look unto Jesus? Look now. Admire him by faith. Be amazed at him if you are not a Christian. Oh, that you would yet look tonight, that you be given faith, that you would see, and that you would be struck with amazement. But you consider, there were those here at Calvary who were amazed, but they weren't converted. A number of years earlier, at Nazareth, our Lord had been preaching in the synagogue. And we're told this in Luke 4, verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They wondered. They were struck. They were amazed at the ministry of Jesus. Is not this Joseph's son? Where did he get his learning? They were moved. They were amazed. But unlike those officers who we considered 2 weeks ago, they did not believe, for we read later in the chapter, they wanted Jesus gone. One can be amazed at what happened at Calvary, but still not believe in Jesus. You may be moved by what happened at Calvary as you think of the sufferings of Christ, but still not converted. Oh, that you would look to Jesus tonight. And that you would be amazed in your soul as a believer. What amazing love to me. I'm so amazed that Jesus should love me and give himself for me. Oh, consider Jesus tonight. Are you amazed at Calvary? Well, consider the centurion as we draw to a close now. Time has gone. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Because the first thing, he glorified God. Now there was a debate with some, was this centurion converted? If not, he made the confession, which was true, and by making this confession, he glorified God. If he was converted, there's a number of belief. He was glorifying God in his heart as now a saved man. Are you amazed at Calvary? He had to go to the cross, the Lord Jesus. It was the only way. Oh, what he suffered. Are you amazed at Calvary? Are you amazed at the Saviour? And are you giving God the glory? Giving him the praise? You know, it's my prayer tonight, dear brothers and sisters, listening on here and those in your homes, that you tonight will give God the glory for Calvary. That you'll be amazed and that you would give God the glory. That you would praise him for the plan of redemption. That you would praise him for the accomplishment of redemption. That Jesus came and did it all for you. Oh, that you would give God the glory. Amazed at Calvary. And giving him the glory. One of the great needs of the hour is for us, the people of God, to consider Jesus. And oh, it's my prayer as we come out of these days of great affliction, we would be more at the feet of Jesus, amazed at him and his love, and that we would give God the glory. Amazed of what Jesus has done and giving God the glory. I think of the shepherds. You remember, children, they met Jesus. They saw him. And afterwards we're told this in Luke 2, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They returned, and they returned glorifying God. Remember earlier, they were fearful. They heard the gospel. Such news to all people. They met the Lord. Their hearts were changed. And now they go forth, making known Jesus. And then later they return glorifying and praising God. Oh, to go on our way, glorifying the Lord. Oh, tonight, after this hour, let's go on our way, glorifying the Lord in view of Jesus, who died at Calvary. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, let's give God the glory. Think of Calvary, think of your Redeemer's love, and give the glory to that which is due. Oh, that I would think more often of him, and that I would more often return by giving glory to him. Oh, to spend more time in my life giving God the glory. You know, as we turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, they're humbling words, but oh, to be more conforming to those words. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Humbling, isn't it? Have I really done everything today for the glory of God? I don't think I have. Oh, in view of Calvary, why not Aaron? Oh, to give God more of the glory in all that I do, whether I eat or drink. It's our chief end, isn't it? Oh, to act, to speak, to think more for his glory. And as we think of thinking more for God's glory, bring me to the cross. Let me consider Jesus more often, that I would in turn give God the glory. Secondly, the centurion made confession. What do we read here in verse 47? Certainly, this was a righteous man. He's no criminal. He's a righteous man. You see, the centurion knew now that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and he confesses Jesus to be a righteous man. In Mark 15, verse 29, the Son of God, have you confessed him to be the spotless Son of God? Do you speak of him? You remember Nathanael's confession in John 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Rabbi, here's Nathanael. His heart had been opened. He's now a follower of Jesus. Rabbi, Master, thou art the Son of God. Can you say that to Jesus now? I know many of you can. Well, just say it now. Master, thou art the Son of God. We're so blessed to be able to call him Master, confess him. He's listening now. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You remember Peter's confession in Matthew 16, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, as a boy growing up in Totten, I often used to hear those words in the home. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I used to hear those words played over again and again. My mum used to play them over again and again. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I used to hear those words. I used to think of those words. But for a while I wasn't a Christian. But then, oh, can you say to Jesus now, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the one, my spotless Saviour, who was sent on a mission of mercy for me. Thou didst come, thou didst go all the way to Calvary for me. Thou didst die for me. For the centurion confesses the Lord to be righteous, the Son of God. He was no criminal. It dawned on him. He had done nothing wrong. Oh, just consider that. The Lord had done nothing wrong. Think of what he suffered. He had done nothing wrong, yet he was suffering because of my sin and your sin, dear child of God. Oh, to be amazed. Oh, what love he came, the righteous one, to die for me, to suffer for me, to be in agony for me. What a Saviour. Are you amazed at Jesus? Oh, to be more amazed. Oh, to live more in the light of Calvary. Well, in view of Calvary, let us respond in our lives. And with this, I close. First of all, that there be more thankfulness in our lives. You remember those words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God. You know, I love to see little cards arriving. And from time to time, little cards arrive from children. They may have had a birthday and they send a little card. Other children, they come and tell me. And what do they say? Thank you. Thank you for the present. Thank you for the gift. It's lovely to see it, isn't it? It's lovely to hear it. Children saying thank you. The Father loves to hear his children saying thank you. Oh, that I would say more often to the Lord, I thank thee, Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There the Apostle Paul, he's moved in view of Jesus and his love. He's moved in view of Calvary and he gives thanks. Words fell him. Oh, that I would be there more often. That words fell me. That I would be so struck. That I would give God the glory. And that I would thank him. Oh, in view of Calvary. Oh, be more thankful. Secondly, let testimony be made. Let testimony be made. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, to make testimony. Remember that woman of Samaria, she met the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to her. She leaves her water pot. She goes to the men of the city and says to them, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come, see a man. Her heart was moved. I remember one particular Lord's Day. My heart was moved. And I was walking home from church. It was about a mile and a half. And I stopped and saw someone. And I told them of Jesus. It's not easy at times. And some aren't able to do such a thing. But in some way, oh, to bear testimony of Jesus. He's our beloved friend, isn't he? This is my friend. This is my beloved. We love him. We're so thankful for him. Oh, to speak of him. Maybe to send a little text, a little message. Oh, to make testimony of Jesus. Come see a man. Thirdly, in view of Calvary, let there be a closer walk with Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Oh, because of Calvary, we are saved. We have a new life. Through faith, we have received Christ Jesus. Oh, to walk in him. Oh, for a closer walk with thee. Oh, to walk in him. It speaks of closeness, doesn't it? You know, I truly say this. I so desire to get closer to Jesus. Draw me closer. Oh, that I would be amazed more often, that the Lord would pull at my heart and I would be drawn closer to Jesus. Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul followeth hard after thee. Fourthly and finally, there's more points, but time has gone. Fourthly and finally, let a man be more at the feet of Jesus. Let a man be more at the feet of Jesus. In view of Calvary, oh, that we would be more at the feet of Jesus. Oh, to think of him, what he has done for us all those years ago, and to go to his feet. It's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? We thought of it a few weeks ago, at the feet of Jesus, looking up by faith, looking up in humility, desiring to hear his voice. All in view of our King, to be at his feet. In view of our Saviour and friend, to be at his feet. Oh, at the feet of Jesus. Having thought of Calvary, to be there again and again. More often at the feet of Jesus, as we walk on through this life. In view of Calvary, oh, to praise him at his feet. Worthy is the Lamb. When we consider tonight, amazed at Calvary, oh, that I would be more amazed. My prayer is tonight, Lord, I don't want the coldness to come back to my soul. Draw me nearer. I want to love thee the more. I want to think more often of thee. I want to live my life more in the shadow of Calvary. May it be heard our prayer. May we be more amazed at Jesus. Amen.